WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to by our friends over at MBG Films. That's YouTube.com/MBG1211. If you're listening to us over on Wild Talk Radio, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's snowing on our stream. That's a little too big of snow. You tweet us at WildTalkRadio.
It's chalky snow.
It is. We'll shrink that back down a little bit. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay Warren, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTR Live to interact with us live tonight, because it is a Wednesday night. I know, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's AEW night. It's so we're weird. Here. We're your post show. We tricked Lindsay.
No.
We tricked Lindsay. She's going to recap everything that's going on between Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli happening now live on AEW Dynamite, live on the Superstation, TBS, and HBO Max.
I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to leave.
Chat, she's going to stay here for the next 2 hours to break down every move and clock every entrance time so you know the most bell-to-bell action you can get.
No.
And they went black for a second. I don't know why. Anyway.
Because I willed it, goddammit. I willed it. The answer is no.
But maybe... a yes.
No, it's definitely no. There ain't nothing making that a yes.
But maybe a yes.
But no.
But maybe, chat.
No.
One day.
No. Unless they want to pay me. Now, if Tony Khan wants to cut me a nice big fat check to watch his show and review it, then we'll talk about it.
By golly, we're going to make it happen. Anyway, chat, just hit the button. We'll start a fundraiser.
Tony Khan, support my gotcha habit.
So, anyway, we're here to talk about Survivor Series in a little bit because Survivor Series happened this past Saturday live on the ESPN app and the Netflix. And if you listen to the internet, it wasn't a great show. If you listen to Freddie Prinze Jr., ESPN hates WWE. So, that's
where which is ironic because they broadcast on ESPN.
I know they don't like WWE. They're having buyer's remorse or something because wrestling insider Freddie Prinze Jr. and in a shocking upset, Jon Moxley lost to Claudio Castagnoli.
Wow!
So to break down the Blue League in the Continental Classic, here's Lindsay Ward.
No, why would ESPN be having buyer's remorse?
They're not.
It's
someone in there, someone who Freddie Prinze Jr. knows probably doesn't like WWE and, you know, decided to spread a rumor.
So here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Even if that's true, right? Even if that's true, that they're supposedly having buyer's remorse, I don't think that's necessarily on WWE. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you did not get your app live correctly. Or properly, or advertise your app correctly or properly. And it's also up and running, a pain in the ass to access and use. And it's not convenient. I'm sorry. It is not a convenient, like the app is just basically trash. I'm just going to say it. The app is trash. Like this whole channel thing is just trash. Because even if you want to watch WWE, it's buried. You have to dig for it to find it. At least with Peacock, they had a tab. With Netflix, they have a tab.
Oh, well, they have a block. They don't have a tab. You can just search. Whatever. Yeah. But, I don't know. Watching live was fine. They had some issues. Or at least mine cut out a couple times live on the ESPN app. But beyond that, it was fine. Lindsay pinning chat messages now.
I accidentally misclicked. I mean, I could pin it because it's the Twitter message. So, you know, everybody go follow us on Twitter.
It is. Doesn't the UFC use the same thing? No, because UFC is leaving the app now. You had to buy it through the app, but there was probably a thing to make it easy to buy.
They're going to Paramount.
Yeah, they're leaving this new app.
The broadcast, which I wonder if WWE is going to leave.
No.
Owned by the same company. They could just put it on, like, they could just literally move it to Netflix.
But they signed just, a multi-year deal with ESPN. They're not going anywhere.
And you know what? The ESPN app is shit.
Yeah, and when Xfinity gets it, it'll be fine. Because you won't be paying $30. Yeah,
going to happen?
It's in the works.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. It should have been worked out before launched.
No, the deal has been worked out. They're now working on the system to migrate all the Xfinity people over.
Work faster, Xfinity.
Good news for you. The next PLE is not until January 30th.
I mean, honestly, if I could cancel it and just, like, get rid of that subscription, that would make me so happy.
Yeah, so January 30th is the next PLE. There's another, the next Peacock event is next Saturday. That's where fine. We're staying.
Anyway, we got and sidetracked. Let's talk news. Hold
on.
No,
before we get to, we'll stay on the sidetrack. ESPN doesn't, I don't think ESPN is bothered by the numbers WWE is pulling in, whether it's good or bad right now, until WrestleMania. Let's be real. That's the event that matters.
Yeah, because that's the moneymaker.
That's the moneymaker. Royal Rumble won't really matter to this year because it's not going to be in the time. It's not the time block for it because it's going to be mid-afternoon. Should Rumble do good numbers? Yeah. But WrestleMania with all the promotion and everything, that's the big event. And they were happy with WrestlePalooza. So
as long as it's generating an appropriate level of revenue, they will be happy. Because that's it. That's literally it. Is as long as people are subscribed and they're paying for the app or ESPN is making money off the app through WWE, because I promise you they can track all that, they'll be fine. They'll be very pleased, very happy. It's when revenue starts to dip that it will become a problem. Because as I mentioned before, this was all rushed. This was not supposed to be live yet. I think it was supposed to be go live in like January of 2026 or something like that.
No, the app went live when it was supposed to. WWE's content on there was not supposed to go live until WrestleMania.
Yeah. So it's WWE was way early on all of this, and they didn't have ESPN did not have everything ironed out yet. So I think there is a little bit of a grace period going on right now on both sides because things did not go to plan. WWE basically rolled in and was like, hey, yeah, we're here way early. Accommodate us. Yes. And that's what happened. So, but the app is still terrible to access. I hate it.
I don't mind it on the TV. It's fine. At least
I just have to go through Disney Plus. That's the only thing.
Oh, you have to go through Disney Plus.
I have to go through Disney Plus.
Why do you have to go through Disney Plus?
Because it's easier to find.
Oh, I just go through the app. It's been easy. So
my TV is older and it only has... Here's the thing. I have hardly anything installed on my TV in terms of apps. And it's like, I'm full. I'm like, how the fuck can you be full? You have literally five things on you. How can you be full?
What type of TV do you have? We'll get into news presented by MDFilmsYouTube.com/MDG1211 in a minute. What type of TV do you have?
It's a Samsung.
Oh, that's weird then, because mine's Samsung, and the app's easy. Oh.
Like, it's an older Samsung. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. It's very, very, very weird. I haven't checked the TV downstairs, though, to try, but anyway, I have TV problems. Let's talk about the news.
Presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So what's in the news? There's some good stuff in the news.
There's some really good stuff in the news. So huge congratulations again to Naomi and Jimmy Uso. They are announcing that they are going to be having a baby boy. So congrats.
Yeah, really good news.
So the family legacy getting carried on. Yeah.
Put the ones up.
Yeet. No, don't eat the baby. Don't eat the baby. Not the baby.
Just chat, eat. Just eat anyway.
But yeah, so that's awesome for them. I'm happy for them. Moving on to AEW, because that's all we have for WWE. AEW has a Christmas schedule. It is announced. The changes are going to begin on Saturday, December 13th with Collision from Cardiff, Wales, which will air at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to avoid the John Cena retirement episode of Saturday night's main event at 8 p.m. Eastern. Smart move to move that. Then on December 17th, which is a Wednesday, Dynamite will be 3 hours. It will be, or not, AEW will be 3 hours, not Dynamite, but Dynamite will be at 8 p.m. Eastern, followed by a 1 hour Collision at 10 p.m. Eastern, and the World's End Countdown show will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern. The shows will be taped in Manchester, England earlier that day. Then on Saturday, December 20th, AEW will air Collision at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, which will be a taped show as they are filming the following week's Dynamite later that night. And finally, on Wednesday, December 24th, for Christmas Eve, the annual Holiday Dynamite on 34th Street episode will begin at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by a Christmas Collision on Thursday, December 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern, as the World Ends pay-per-view is on Saturday.
So I'm assuming
those will be taped, or those live.
They're all taped. So you, as you mentioned on the Saturday one, it's taped on that Saturday. And that Sunday they'll be taping stuff. So, if you read the last one on Wednesday, December, it's going to air at 6 p.m. on TBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
What airs on Christmas Eve on TBS and TNT?
A Christmas Story
for 24 hours. So it bookends. AEW is bookending the Christmas Story on the Turner Family Networks.
I thought they only did it on TNT.
No, it's on
both
now.
Are they doing it on TBS too?
Yeah, it always does them. Yeah, they throw it on everything.
No, it used to only be on TNT.
Yeah, but I think the last few years it's been on both.
Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a holiday classic. You have to, right? So mark that down in your calendars that AEW is changing things up, kind of like us, for the holidays. It was announced that AEW Revolution for 2026 is going to be heading to LA. It'll be on Sunday, March 15th, so tickets should be available soon.
Indeed.
And big congratulations to Lacey Lane. She has, aka Caden Carter, she has signed with AEW, so congrats to her.
Congrats to her. As Lindsay live Googled Lacey Lane to know who she was, to tell you, because I saw her in the sheet, copy the name.
Look, I am educating myself.
I know.
Live on air.
I'm on air.
No, it's like Lacey Lane. Who is Lacey? I've not heard of Lacey Lane, so let me double check it.
Read the bottom story, and then we'll finish with the top one and the other.
Oh, okay. All right. Moving on to TNA. Daria Bernado, aka Sonya Deville, is set for a comedy horror movie titled Zomboys. Bernado will star in the project alongside Tut Watkins, Thomas Decker, Brianna D'Amico, Adam Huss, and Aaron Goldenberg. Sorry. Production is set to begin this month in Atlanta. Hey! And the synopsis of the film will see a group of college seniors in the North Georgia mountains who discover a secret that turns their getaway into a brutal battle for survival.
Fun for her.
Stay warm, y'all. Gonna be cold.
Indeed.
But no, congrats to her. That's awesome.
Congrats to her.
Breaking into Hollywood.
Yeah. But now we actually have a big story of the week. It is like the biggest story of the week so far.
It is. So it was announced by TNA that they are officially heading to AMC. They have a TV deal with them, which is amazing news for them.
It is. It's big.
Allow it. Hold on. I have to turn off my ad blocker because Variety's a bitch. Okay. So AMC Networks and TNA Wrestling announced Tuesday that they have set a multi-year agreement to bring TNA's flagship weekly television show, Thursday Night Impact, to AMC, beginning on January 15th with a live show taped at the Curtis Colwell Center in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. AMC will feature Thursday Night Impact as a two-hour block event Thursday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. The program will also be available on AMC Network streamer AMC Plus. So this is a big deal because essentially this is TNA's return to network.
A bigger network. It's bigger access.
A bigger network.
A bigger network. It's about 20 more million homes they're going to be in compared to like 30 something for access. This is about 50 something million homes. The show is now once again renamed to Thursday Night Impact, which is fun. And that begins on live on January, 15th? Yeah, live on January 15th.
Yeah.
Tickets on sale starting next Thursday, with a pre-sale starting next Tuesday. Go to TNAWrestling.com for more. They're also going to be doing a TV taping the following week in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is famous for what shows? Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, AMC classics.
Hey, you never know. They might get the stars of the show to show up.
They might try to get at least someone from the show. That would be fun to appear. So they're at least going to do some sort of theme for those shows, which makes a lot of sense. A few things like rumors and stuff. WWE and NXT and TNA partnership is going to continue. There were some rumors that it wasn't. All signs point to it is. Their first pay-per-view under the era will be on that Saturday, so January 17th. The big change for Impact is moving from 8 to 10, from 8 to 10 to now 9 to 11. So just reset your DVRs when that change happens. You'll be having one, reset it for the new channel, and two, a different time. They're going to be signing a lot of their talent is up right now. A lot of their contracts are up in the air because they were waiting for the TV deal to come through. So we will probably have a lot of TNA has signed X and Y and Z and all these people here in the next few weeks. So be ready for that.
That's okay, though.
That is okay. The plan over the next 6 months is to format a schedule where they can be live more often. It's not going to be every week, but they're hoped to be live more than they have been, and they've been going live a lot more, especially around the four pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
They've been live. Their hope is to do more live television shows because they prefer to be live, but there's logistics with the network and everything like that where it has to make it work. So you're going to work around all the network schedules in terms of production, whatever, to get the show live and, you know, get a location with the person they can do it more often. So they're going to set their schedule to hopefully do that. WWE elevated. I'm not going to say they helped get the deal because they technically didn't help them get the deal. CAA negotiated the deal on behalf of TNA, but WWE kind of pushing them a little bit, hyping up the brand a little bit, hyping it up. I would assume helped elevate the brand to get a TV deal. No word on how much money they're getting, but they're getting money.
Oh, they have to be.
Unlike the Access deal, because Access, they weren't making money. They weren't getting paid for the TV deal because they were owned by that company. So now they're making money. TNA's profitable.
They're back on the rise again. I mean, which is amazing news for them. We always love to see that for TNA. Because we've seen, Rock and I have been here since the beginning for TNA. We've seen the rise. We've seen the fall. And now they're back on the rise again. They're coming back. The AMC deal is such great news for them. They're for a minute.
Yeah.
They were struggling and we didn't know if they were going to survive.
And they've survived very, very long time. I'm a day one NWA TNA person. Day one, June 19th, 2002. Have it on a VHS tape somewhere.
I have a bunch of VHS tapes down in my basement. Or no, I don't have the VHSs. I think I have the DVDs down in my basement.
Yeah. So congrats to them. This is big to do. Whatever money they're making, they're making money. This will elevate them. This will make them viable. They'll be able to sell commercial ads because they're on a network that will be that people can see. I don't expect monster ratings. Never don't expect like them to tear the house down in monster ratings. But more eyeballs will be on the program. Still good. So, and it's a good spot for them.
It's a great spot. They used to be in that spot. Because we used to do the show at the 11 and we would come on the air right as they were going off. So, like, I remember them. It's a good place for them. Like, I think, I don't expect monster ratings, but I expect them to do well. Because if nothing else, it's another alternative coming to a more accessible, no pun intended, network. Because a lot more people, as we said, have AMC versus Access. And they're putting it in a really good time slot, which is 9 to 11 on Thursdays. It's not going to be competing with AEW. It's not competing with WWE. And in truth, TNA does not need to compete with AEW. That's kind of what effed them the first time was. They tried to compete with WWE. They got a little big for their britches and they just crashed as a result. And they've been trying to kind of claw their way back from that ever since with success here and there, but ultimately it's just been the rise and the fall. And so now that they are in a good place again, they're back on network television, they just need to do their own thing and nobody needs to compete with them and everybody just kind of needs to leave them alone and let them be them and let them see where this goes kind of thing, because alternative in wrestling is a really good thing. TNA has a great product and it just needs to be allowed to thrive, honestly. Truthfully, it just needs to be allowed to thrive. And I think AMC is going to give that to them. And I think the partnership with WWE especially will be increasingly beneficial for them. Not that it hasn't been already, but it will help them thrive because they have that support, which they didn't have before. I don't know what the exact like deal is between WWE and TNA, but just the talent exchange that they can get that little boost if they need it is great. So all in all, this is really good news. This is just great news.
It's great news for TNA, who was again 1 foot out business before, and now here we are.
It's amazing. It's amazing how that works.
It's quite amazing how that works.
Because I remember sitting here talking about it. It's like, oh, is TNA gonna make it? I don't know. So good for them. So we will have to check that out. We're not going to go on 11 because I have to work the next day. So
we're not moving the show to 11 to review Impact, brother. We're not. No, sorry.
No, I am not doing Impact reviews. No, we did that. I remember doing Impact reviews. I remember this. It is the whole reason I brother, 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 sister, mother, father, aunt, brother, 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 brother. That's the whole reason. That's a thing. No, we're not going to do that, but definitely we'll have to check it out before we go in the air or have it on while we're doing the show kind of thing. Because, yeah, it's just great. And if nothing else, to see the Breaking Bad references. So with that, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Survivor Series and what we thought of the show. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Feeling all the good shit, leaving me with nothing but my hands. On all the smoke down my back, chasing all the flames that are licking around my neck and making me insane as they pull me down into my grave. I can't get away. Are you
following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
As decades go by, milestones add up. But once in a while, milestones collide. On December 6th, your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, milestones collide. Join us for the 900th episode of CB Radio, going strong for a decade plus eight.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use supported creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For our friends over at MBG Films, it's YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about Survivor Series, which was this past Saturday on the ESPN apps. The internet did not like this show.
No, not.
And I don't know why.
It's the internet.
That's why. I don't know if it's because I walked into it with low expectations. I don't know, like, what it was, but I didn't think the show was that bad. It wasn't, like, mind-blowingly good, but it wasn't terrible. Like, it wasn't awful. It was a show. Like, it was there. It was entertaining. I don't think they, like, I only really had problems with, like, one match, and everything else was pretty much fine. But what were your thoughts on it?
The match was fine. No, the show was fine. I don't know why the internet hates things. The internet hates things. I don't know. They need to relax. And we knew it was coming. We forecast it. I've been telling people for weeks they were going to do this. AEW put on Blood and Guts, violent cage matches. And then 3 weeks later, WWE was going to do a show that had no violence of that magnitude. But people are going to compare it. And that's what happened. Which is why people thought it was a bad show. I don't know. on a show where they give you an angle featuring a big return that no one thought saw coming, and then a mystery angle to close out the show. How is that a bad show?
I feel like that's a you thing, and I'm not talking about anybody in specifics, but like, if you sit there and you crave more violence and you want more blood, or you want this, you want that, maybe you need to look at yourself for that. Because I will agree, in certain situations, violence and blood, especially in wrestling, is appropriate. And there was blood on this show, by the way, for the record. There was blood on this show. Was it in every match? No. But there was blood on this show. I would say that, like, extensive levels of violence, I question how often those are appropriate. Because you can sit there and you can watch, you know, the super ultra hardcore death matches. And if you're into that, this is no judgment. That's fine. They're not my cup of tea. I don't necessarily enjoy them. They don't do anything for me. Like, watching people bust light tubes over their heads, just, it makes me more worry about their health. And it pulls me out of the moment more than anything else. Because when I see ultra-violent stuff like that, even though you know it's rigged to a certain extent, you know some of that still hurts. And you know the damage that somebody is doing them to themselves, especially when they're bleeding particularly extensively. Like, it's not healthy to do that to yourself, by the way, to lose vast amounts of blood. That is not good for you. And you shouldn't do it frequently. And that's my only thing with it. Like, so for me personally, it takes me out of the moment when it gets excessively violent like that. Like, in certain instances, I would say, like Hell in a Cell, it can be that level of appropriate, but even you kind of go back and you watch the old Cell matches and you're like, oh God, especially with the one with Foley. It's like one thing to watch it when you're a kid, and then you watch it as an adult and you're like, oh God, what did he do to himself? You know, kind of thing. Yeah. So for me in particular, like, could it have been more violent? Sure. Yeah, it could have been more violent. You could have had a million weapons in there. You could have had them smacking each other over the head with trash can lids more. Like, yeah, you could have added more violence to it, certainly, and it would have been okay. But I think there's a tolerable level of violence that it can go to before it just becomes violence really for the sake of violence. And especially for these matches, which were the two War Games matches, I don't feel like, honestly, even with like Becky and AJ in the match, and then kind of who was in the men's, that level of violence is appropriate. Because you don't really have anybody in any of these matches that have grudges to the level that they want to commit felonies. It's close, but it's not, am I willing to go to jail for this? And the answer, I feel like, for a lot of these people is no. Like, I'm not willing to do that. So to me, the violence level was appropriate, but it could always be a little bit more. But the violence level really didn't bother me. Nor did the lack of blood, because I'm just used to the lack of blood. Like, if somebody gets busted open in WWE, it happens the hard way, typically. Unless they doctor it up, which we don't know when they do or they don't. But it's such an infrequent thing that it's like, when you see blood, it is important. It matters. It's, oh, we're bleeding now. Okay, this just went up a notch because we're bleeding. It's not just blood for the sake of blood, where it's just always there. And I think that's the difference. And if this show is made or broken by the fact that somebody bled or somebody didn't bleed, then I feel like that's a personal thing. That's not a WWE thing. Like, they aren't going to go there just to make you happy, you know?
It's the levels that, like, violence for the sake of violence, is that's AEW's product. WWE doesn't do over-the-top violence for the sake of over-the-top violence, because they don't need to.
Anymore.
But when they did it, it was 20 years ago. They're a safer product now. Everyone knows this. And trying to compare one to the other is just going to create internet drama, which it has. Like, you could say, there was a lot of ads on the show. No, there was the same amount of ads you get normally on a WWE net premium live event, because both Netflix and ESPN have to run ads, because that's how their services work for live things. That is not a WWE thing. That is a service provider thing. They're required to run ads. If it was a WWE thing... they would just run their own ads and be done in 2 minutes, but it's not. It is a provider thing. Peacock wanted it because they were selling ads. Netflix doesn't. Netflix has it for Raw. Netflix has it for the NFL. and whatever other sports they're going to have. So when the Home Run Derby comes, guess what? There's going to be ads during that. So be ready for them. That's going to be weird. Raw and the Home Run Derby going to conflict on the same app. That's an interesting one. Then ESPN has ads all throughout their live football broadcast. So WWE's going to get away with it? No. ESPN UFC didn't run ads because you're paying $60 for it.
Yeah.
Or $90 or $80, whatever UFC pay-per-view is. You're buying a pay-per-view. It's like ads are a thing. We have ads here on Twitch. There's ads on YouTube. There's ads on Hulu and Disney. Everywhere. Everyone has ads. You hate them. We all hate the ads. But that's how they make money. It's how they stay in business. It's how they provide content. And for people who complain about them often, guess what? Deal with it. Yes, your AEW doesn't run ads midway through a pay-per-view because you're paying $40 for the pay-per-view. And I bet, if it was only on HBO Max, there would be ads on HBO Max live streaming.
Oh, there will be.
If it was directly run on HBO, it would be. But it's not because it's on multiple providers as a pay-per-view. But if it was a live stream on HBO, guaranteed there'd be ads. Because there's an ad tier. That's where we are in 2025, 2026 coming up. Ads are everywhere. Get used to it.
As you said, it's how networks make money. How do you... Basically, all of these streaming services looked at their subscriber base and they went, okay, all right, we've kind of sort of hit max saturation on how we can make money with this, because you're going to get an ebb and flow of subscribers, right? Where it's going to go up, it's going to go down. But in terms of getting new people to sign up, especially when you've been around for as long as, say, Netflix has, it's going to be difficult to get, you know, that large number every month. So it's, how else can we make money? Well, we can raise our prices, which is what they've done. And we can also increase revenue by introducing ads, which is, you have an ad tier that you pay a certain amount and you get ads, and then you pay a certain amount and you don't get ads. But the problem with that is that when you're watching live TV and it has ads and you pay for that tier where they don't have ads, you still get the break because they have to put the ad breaks in there for the entire product. So you're not going to get a continuous broadcast without ads just because you paid for it. You're just not going to see the ads.
Right.
In this particular instance, for live. Now, for streaming, it's different.
For WWE Raw, when you have the international version, which does not have ads, you get other content in that ad break. Just like for the premium live events, there's other video packages that air while they fulfill the ad content because they're ad tiers. If Peacock didn't have an ad tier, there would probably have been no ads during the premium live events. But there's an ad tier. Your programming is an ad supported service. So it needs to stop being a complaint from people. If you don't like it, don't watch it. That simple.
But they have to. They have to time it.
Or pay them more money and get rid of your ad.
Like, to me, especially on a show like this where there were only four matches, honestly, the ads didn't bother me because where they placed the ads was in between the matches.
Yeah, it's always...
You weren't getting a lot of ad breaks or really any ad breaks during the match. Like, they were thoughtful in that fact. That it's like, we need to have ad breaks. Okay, so we're going to put them between the three matches, and that's going to be that. Yeah. And honestly, for me, it gives you a chance to get up, go to the bathroom, get a snack, do whatever you need to do, and come back.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Like, it's just like watching, it's literally like watching regular TV. Where you're sitting here, you're watching the NFL game, you get a commercial, you get up, you go do whatever you're going to do, and then you come back. Where you ignore the commercial. Like, it's literally the same thing. Like, it's just programmed in your head to do that.
But people go, well, I'm paying money, so I shouldn't get ads. I need to educate some people, right? You pay for fucking cable, and you still have ads. You're paying for the cable. Should you have no ads on cable? That's not how that works. Just saying. It's an age-old thing. You pay for cable, you get the ads. You pay for a streaming service, you're going to get ads on those tiers.
Yep.
Oh, just because I'm paying for it, I shouldn't get ads. You always were paying for it. Anyway, tangent over. Let's get into the show.
All right, so the show opened with the Women's War Games match. We had Team Rhea, which was AJ Lee, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Io Sky, and Rhea Ripley taking on Team Asuka, which was Becky Lynch, Lash Legend, Nia Jax, the Kabuki Warriors of Asuka and Kairi Sane. This was a fun match. This was an interesting match. We have to talk about Io Sky's branded trash can. It's become so much of a thing that they actually branded, like custom branded a trash can to Io Sky. And she came out with the lid and then Rhea followed up with the rest.
That was clever. The way they got it up to her with AJ trying to hand it to her and hoist it up with Rhea was a clever spot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was clever. I thought they played the AJ-Becky dynamic well. I thought Charlotte and Asuka starting was a good idea. I was thinking Asuka-Io, but Charlotte-Asuka was a pretty good one. Because it followed up from the match on SmackDown. I thought Lash looked solid in the match for her first big premium live event match. Nia was a little sloppy, a little bit, but that's Nia. I thought the match worked fine. I liked that they brought the weapons in to the ring, and then have to dig them out.
Yeah, that was nice.
Kyrie's chain was interesting. Them doing the spot where they're tied all them up with the chain was clever. I like that one.
Yeah, that was good.
Overall match was fine. It was a solid War Games match. Again, they're not going to go out of their way to kill themselves, because they don't need to. But the live crowd enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It worked. Becky tapping or not tapping and waving her arm, whatever she's claiming, was clever. Thought AJ protected herself well.
Mm-hmm.
She survived. Solid B. I'd give it a match. Like, if it rained, the match is like a B, an 8 out of 10. It was a solid match. It wasn't blow away. It wasn't bad. It was a match that was very enjoyable. Fans enjoyed it. I liked EO's trash can spot where it was the kill spot where here's the super finish.
Mm-hmm.
And take out four people, because before she does it midway through the match and then it happens, but this was it left Becky alone. It left Becky alone, and she had all the big moves and tapped out or waved out or whatever, and it worked.
I would agree with all that. I think in terms of the mix of personalities and the mix of stories, I think everybody fit together relatively well. There were some moments where you kind of were like, I don't know how is working, but I thought they were very clever. I agree with the weapons thing. I thought it was super nice that they brought their own weapons, and then you had Rhea bring the lion's share of them with her, as opposed to trying to pull them out from the ring. One thing we should note about this match, and they did bring it up in the broadcast, was they did not have the shark cages this year at the entrance. They actually had them come out one-on-one, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like, it's not bad. It's just, you would think that would come into play more than it did in both the men's and the women's. And it really didn't come into play at all. And also what's interesting is they didn't do like any like live shots backstage of the teams being there and keeping the teams apart and kind of that struggle of doing all that. Like, that wasn't present, because you think it would be, right? Of at least having them mess with each other backstage as they're being sent out. But they didn't do it, and that's okay. But
we realize why they didn't, right? You realize it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Brock factor.
Yeah, the Brock factor.
Brock was not going to be locked in a cage. Brock was not going to be locked in a cage. And rightfully, he shouldn't have been.
No, he shouldn't have been. And I understand why. Like, I get why. It's fine. It's not, to me,
also,
it's not a problem.
Also, the logistics, and I would say also the logistics of the setup.
They didn't have the space. Like, that's honestly why I thought they didn't do it, was because when you saw the entrance, you're like, ooh, that's tight.
So
that's super tight.
Because they came out from the dugout. Unlike the football stadiums, they have room to build the set and sort of funnel people in. But with a baseball stadium, the locker rooms only come from the dugout area, so it's harder to set everything up. So logistically, they tarped over the dugout and built the stage around it and let them come up that way.
Like, I think ultimately it looked okay, but, and it was fine for the match. I just, like I said, I was more surprised that they didn't have that play as more of a factor than it did, which was non-existent. Because you did have opportunities there for essentially people to get jumped in the entranceway, but they didn't do it. That's fine. I did like how they did the light up screens in the entry. They made it look really cool. But the match itself, like, between the women was fine. We had a lot of really good spots. Hey, welcome in. How you doing? But, like, I like that they closed with the EO trash can spot because, as you mentioned, it kind of falls in the middle and gets lost. This was the good way to isolate Becky. I did like Becky's reactions to AJ when AJ came out. That was nice. Because Becky was, like, in the middle of beating somebody up, and then all of a sudden AJ comes out. And then she's like, oh no, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, she runs over and she grabs the door and she's holding the door trying to keep AJ out. And then AJ had to climb her way into the cage in order to stop the match.
That was clever. I liked that. That was a good spot.
That was a really good spot. I liked the kind of the ending where, and I think it's going to come into play where Rhea saved Charlotte from Asuka's spit of doom.
Which was weird because, I got what she was trying to save her from it, but the timing was so off.
Yeah, the timing was weird, but they got it done, and you had Lash take the shot, and that ended up being what sort of cost them, because that gave Team Rhea the advantage, and then they were able to maneuver in for the trash can spot, and then ultimately, Becky may or may not have submitted, we don't know, but it was called a submission, and it ended up where Team Face won.
Yeah.
Like, it was enjoyable. I thought it was good. Would I want to see this mix again? I honestly don't think so. I will say Rhea looked sick. Like, Rhea looked really good. AJ looked really good. Alexa looked really good. Becky did. The Kabuki Warriors did. Lash did.
A shout out to Charlotte. So, Charlotte had some weird gear on the show, which was...
Yeah.
So that was because of, a cancer patient designed the gear for her.
Mm-hmm. It was really sweet, and the girl was there.
She had the girl there at the show. She was there with WrestleMania for her, and she brought her to the show as well. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So in the end, your team face dance. I liked, actually, too, since we're going to talk about gear, like, Rhea did look sick. I liked how she had the little flowers on her gear for EO.
Yeah. She also had the
flowers.
She had a flower. She had the Japanese flag on her boots.
Yeah, she did.
So nice little touches. But hers, and her, when they were
reunited.
Her gear was inspired by what, Terrifier or something?
Yeah, the clown or whatever.
Yeah, because she has a shirt.
I forget the clown's name.
There's a collab shirt with it as well.
But I loved when Rhea and EO united. Because Rhea's like, babe, I brought your trash can. Babe, are you all right? Get up, babe. Like, the whole time. And then EO's like so happy to see Rhea. She's just like, oh my God, my wife's here. It was adorable. It's so adorable. I love the pairing. I'm going to cry when they break up. But it's just an adorable dynamic. Yeah. But yeah, EO was like a ray of sunshine in this match. Like, she was running around. She's having a good time. She was really kind of the highlight of this, because she was just, like, doing all the things, right? And just hugging people and having a great time.
She was indeed.
So, yeah, I actually enjoyed that part of the match. It made it fun. So Team Face picks up the victory. Up next, we have Dominic Mysterio with Raquel and Roxanne taking on John Cena for the Intercontinental Championship. I enjoyed parts of this match, but I did not enjoy the whole thing.
All right, break it down.
So I liked how Cena savored his very final PLE appearance wrestling. And I liked how they did the whole setup. Like, the match was good. You kind of knew there were going to be shenanigans in this one.
Oh, before you get into it with the Cena thing, mm-hmm. Stu had his son running the wires behind him.
Oh, nice.
So, like, he shouted it out during the entrance, like, you have your son here. That's cool. Like, Stu, for people who don't know, Stu is the cameraman who runs the ramp for the entrances.
He's John Cena's personal cameraman.
Basically. And his son was rigging the cables behind him.
That's awesome.
That's
cool. Wait, does Stu retire with John?
That's what people wondered.
Does Stu retire with John?
Who knows? Maybe.
Like, give Stu a big fat check, man. He deserves it for chasing John Cena's ass for all those years.
Because everyone else slowly walks to the ring, John half sprints. So.
Like, oh god, he's back. Oh no, I gotta get in shape again.
Gotta get that cardio back. Gotta run with John
Cena.
Gotta
get it back, man. At least for a year, and then you're good. Until John comes back to do special appearances, and then it's like, fuck, I gotta chase him again.
Anyway.
Like, you knew there were gonna be shenanigans in this, especially with Raquel and Roxanne coming out, with Dominic. Dominic got a really nice pop, by the way, for being in his hometown. John Cena got a very impressive pop for not being in his hometown, and it being his final appearance. I liked the injury spot that they did. Like, the match itself was fine. Like, when the actual wrestling was fine, they did a nice little injury spot, which I sit here and laugh because it's WWE making us doubt injuries every single time.
So, you know, we're what this...
not,
go on.
We're not going to believe it when somebody's hurt. Like, we're already there with Seth. None of us believe Seth is hurt anymore because of that bullshit they pulled.
So, you know the spot they did, right?
Yeah.
No, do you know what they were referencing with the spot for the Dom injury? It was how Penta got hurt on Monday.
Ah.
They redid the spot, and this time, because Penta got hurt, it's more believable that Dom could have got hurt. That's what they played off of.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
You were not a fan of the injury spot?
Like, it was fine. They did a really good job with it. Like, it was super executed, because you're sitting there for a moment, and you're like... Wait, did Dom actually get hurt? Oh, shit, that's unfortunate. And then it's like they're holding on it. And then you sit there and you think about it, and you're like, wait, if somebody actually gets hurt, they don't show that. They don't broadcast that, right?
Nope.
They purposely always cut away from that when somebody is injured. So it's like, that was clue number one, that he was fine. And then the obvious clue number two is that you have Roxanne and Raquel get in the ring and beat up John Cena, which good on John Cena for taking the beating. And good on the girls for giving it to him. But, like, you saw those shenanigans, and this was relatively early on in the match that this happened. And this is kind of where I have the issue with it, because I don't know if this is the way my brain is wired. I don't know if it's just how they've been booking. But the difficulty is, like, when they do stuff like that, you know they're kind of setting up for the finish, or what you think is going to be the finish. And... because it's, oh, you know, Dominic and the girls cheated, and then John Cena's going to rally back. He's going to do what he does best, do LOL Cena, and then he's going to pick up the win. Like, you can kind of see the formula that they use for these types of matches there. And then when they didn't do it, it's like John Cena rallied. It just kind of got, you're kind of sitting there and you're like, okay, all right, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're continuing the match. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And then you had the ending, which is Liv comes out.
Before that.
And
before we get to the ending, I did like that the referee did not fall for the tricks of Dom of the when the referee came to.
Right.
And then tossed out Raquel and Roxanne. He's like, you hit the frog splash. He was fixing the turnbuckle or whatever it was. And like, I'm not falling for your tricks. I know what happened. I heard you. Like, he didn't play dumb. Like most referees do, and then toss them out. I thought that was a clever way to give to continue the match on.
Yeah, that was a really good way to do it. Like, I like that he tossed the girls. That was nice, because they should be, right? Like, they shouldn't be out there if they're going to be doing that kind of thing. So it's like, it's good on them for tossing it. And again, you kind of see that formulaic sort of like, okay, this is, we're working towards this conclusion, and this is where we're going to go. And then went on for like another 10 minutes or whatever after they did that spot. To me, especially with the ending, it felt just a little overdone. Like, I'm happy that Liv's back. I'm happy that they did the surprise, but I feel like you could have done the match without the injury spot if you were doing the Liv thing and had her come out at the end. Because we're all expecting some kind of interference from Judgment Day. Because I think Finn and JD came out too, didn't they?
So after they got tossed, Finn and JD came in and interfered. They took the double, the super AA from John Cena, leaving them laying. And then Cena had Dom and whatever position, and then that's when Liv returned.
Yeah, I feel like that was just, that was one too many interferences. Like, I feel like you could have done the injury spot and maybe had JD and Finn at the end, and that would have been okay. Or you just have Liv, and you have Liv to come out at the end, and she helps Dom.
You did, yeah, you didn't need Finn and, I would have cut Finn and JD off of it and just left the girls as the ones who interfered and then set it up. But I didn't mind it. But if I were to cut something from it, I would cut them out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because it felt like it was too much. It felt just a little bit overbooked. Like, the match itself was fine. It was very enjoyable. I like how they went ahead and took the title off of Cena. You put it back on Dom. He will continue on as the Intercontinental Champion. And then that takes the title out of his final match. So we don't have to worry about that. Because I know for a lot of people, that was a thing of what are they going to do with that? Because they put the title on him. And it's like, well, is the person that, you know, retires John Cena essentially going to get the IC title? Is he going to give it up? Like, how's this going to work? And then you have Dom win it back. So it's like, okay, all right, that satisfies that essentially. Where Dom pins John Cena, picks up a victory, takes the title off of him. So that is John Cena's essentially last PLE match where he goes out, which kind of sets up a conundrum because John Cena lost to Dom. So does that mean that John Cena is going to lose in his very last match? Because he technically went out on a PLE on his back. So is he going out on his back for the final time?
I said this Sunday. I'm leaning more towards him maybe not going out on his back in his final match. I think the case is now Cena rallies one last time and overcomes the odds against whoever it may be, which we find out on Friday. I think there's more of a chance that a week from Saturday, Cena wins. But I know Cena, and Cena will probably take the L in his final match. Because that's what he believes is best for business. But it's also not his call. If management wants to put Cena over, Cena will go over. It's just the way it is. So this was his 176 PLE pay-per-view match in history. It is also the last time he'll beat for a championship, and Judgment Day members bookended John Cena's career for championships for people who beat him. Because Carlito, former Judgment Day member, beat him for the U.S. title the first time he lost the title. And now Dom beat him for the IC title on his last one. I found that as a weird stat that came out. That was cool. I was like, oh, Carlito and Dom. All right. That's your trivia question.
A fun little quick stat to throw out on trivia night for you. All right. Up next for the Women's World Championship, we had Stephanie Vaquer taking on Nikki Bella. For what this was fine. Like,
yeah, the match was enjoyable.
Here's the thing. This was the one where I was kind of walking in and it's like, I'm going to give this a chance. I'm not going to walk in with ultra high expectations. That is not a reflection on anybody involved in the match. It is acknowledging skill sets and skill levels of people in the match. And I know that Stephanie has a very vastly different skill level than Nikki when it comes to wrestling. And that is not to knock Nikki or say anything bad about her, but it's just different, right? I thought this was fine. I thought this was enjoyable. Stephanie made Nikki look great, which we all knew she was going to do. Like, we all knew Stephanie was essentially going to be the carry in this. And they did, in the end, they did not do the thing. They did the surprise win for Dom, but Stephanie retains the title. But what were your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was anything bad about the match. It was serviceable. It got the job done. It was a solid match on the PLE. You know, it's not match of the year. It's not worst match of the year. It was just a match that happened. It just happened. And guess what? You're going to have events where just matches happen. And for that one, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing good about it. There's nothing bad about it. It's just there.
Yeah. I don't think if you had any expectations it was going to be a blowaway match, then your expectations were wrong. If you thought it was going to stink up the joint, you were wrong too.
I didn't think it was going to stink up the joint. Like, that's the thing. Nikki is competent.
Yeah, Nikki's been fine. She's been fine. She's had her moments, but she's been really good in terms of being consistent in the ring since returning.
The thing, it all comes down to, again, skill sets and skill level. Nikki, from where she started way back in the beginning of her career to now, has vastly improved as both a performer and a wrestler. because she did not start with aspirations to be a pro wrestler. That wasn't what she was trying to achieve. And fast forwarding to now, her goals are not necessarily to be a professional wrestler full time. She's come back to have the run. She's come back to do her thing. And that's what she wants to do right now. But ultimately, Nikki has aspirations and goals to move on somewhere else. And coming back to WWE will help her because that will elevate her star, right? That's really what she's trying to do, is elevate herself by being in WWE, getting her name back out there, you know, getting some buzz around it so she can book things outside of wrestling again. And that's the whole point of this.
It is the whole point of it. Also, she also needs the money.
Yes, she also needs the money. Like, I wasn't trying to bring that up, but
no, but it is a factual statement because of the position she's in. She went through a nasty divorce, and she owes the money, so she's got to get back to work. She's got to do what she's got to do to pay the bills, and she wants to send her. But on top of that, she wants this run to be the run that sends off her career, I would assume, and have that final moment, because the way she went out. They left together, and then her one-offs have been just, you know, they've just been one-off things, or this little run here, this and that. But she never had the final run because she got injured. Like, the injuries kind of slowed her down towards the end when she was actually peaking, when she was holding it up, holding her own against the new women coming up. Injuries, her neck injuries slowed her down. So coming back, mm-hmm. one is a testament of her hard work that she's able to survive with the neck injury.
Yes.
And two, ending on a higher note than, you know, kind of having to wind it down because of said injury. You go out on your own terms. And I think that's what she plans on doing with this run for however long it may be. It may be another 2 months. It may be another 6 months. It may be another year or two. Whatever it is, she's doing the run she wants to do. She's going out on her own terms. And you can't fault her for that.
No, I mean, I really can't. Like, everybody deserves to go out on their own terms, especially for the people that are able to come back from injury. Because in a lot of cases, it's a miracle that they can come back at all. Like, Edge coming back, Brian coming back, Nikki coming back. That is amazing. Because 10, 20 years ago, that would not be a thing. Hell, Steve Austin being able to come back and get in the ring, you know? So it's something that, yes, they should absolutely be allowed to go out on their own terms. And that's Nikki included, because Nikki kind of retired in a really weird sort of place in the women's division where it was very transitional. And where she retired then versus where it is now is night and day. And I think she has something to prove to herself as well. That she can do this, that she can hold her own. Because I think Nikki recognizes her own faults. I think she understands where she's at skill-wise. Yeah. And that for a lot of these women, this is all they've ever wanted to do, right? And they have dedicated their lives to developing themselves as wrestlers. Like Stephanie, like Asuka, like Kari, like, you know, a bunch of other people that are on the roster. That this is all they've ever wanted to do, and so they have made it their life's work to be the best at it. And this is not Nikki's final ambition. This is not what Nikki aspired to be growing up. But she's trying her best. And she's doing her best. And I can't fault her for that, right? Like, you make the best of what you got.
Indeed.
And so the match itself with Stephanie was fine. Like, it wasn't match of the year candidate by any stretch of the imagination. But Nikki held her own. Stephanie obviously held her own. She looked great. But they had nice chemistry together. They, like, heel Nikki just works. Nikki is a way better heel. Especially to Stephanie's baby phase. Because Stephanie is a very quiet performer.
Yes.
She has flair, but she's not overly emotional. She's not big. She's not loud. Nikki is. Nikki is over the top. She's big. She's loud. She has personality. She's in your face. And so there's a lot of really good balance there, character-wise and chemistry-wise, that works. Because Stephanie just kind of walks out and be like, it is like, sup.
Yeah. She tries to own the room when she walks out. But
and she does.
She does. And it's subtle. But Nikki is loud and all the things and does it her own way. So it was a nice balance. Yeah. Solid match.
Good match. And last, but certainly not least, you have the men's war game match with the Bronze, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. Taking on CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, The Usos, Roman Reigns. I'm gonna reiterate what was said on Sunday. There was the people that started this match and where people fell in this match were not where I thought they were going to fall. We opened with Punk and Braun,
which makes a lot of sense going with how the match finished. I was not surprised by Punk opening. I really wasn't, because with the other names, and he likes to be a workhorse sometimes. I was not surprised, because there was no way Roman Reigns was opening. There was no way Cody was opening. And honestly, Jimmy wasn't opening either. So you had two choices, Jay or Punk. And the way they built it up, where Jay's entrance was playing in the middle of the ring and then Brock's music played. Clever. Dumb, but clever. You only had Punk. And there was a lot of politicking in play where everyone was trying to, you know, play for their spot, which is not a bad thing. I know people are upset that Brock left the cage before the match started. I didn't care. It worked. Him destroying Roman on the outside, bringing him back in the ring, it worked. I wasn't... Again, if I'm supposed to suspend my disbelief and then to watch violence matches on AEW where they all just leave the cage for that war of blood and guts, I'm okay with Brock walking out of the cage before the match starts and beating up Roman Reigns. I'm okay with it. I thought Brock looked good in the match, but that's Brock. He's always going to look good. He's never not going to. There's the Punk and Cody drama for half a minute. But I need to get your take. What's your take on Cameragate? Come on, you know, Brent and Tim went at it. What's your take on Cameragate?
I felt like the camera in the cage at times was awkward, but it wasn't anything terrible, because it's not very different from when they had the cameras in the cage for like Hell in a Cell. I think what made it weird is just the setup of the match itself, right? Because you have two rings that are pushed together and a cage coming over them. And the only place for a camera person to stand is in the middle or climb in and out of the rings. And I kind of made this comment, and I would be very curious to see if they could take up a setup where they could take out the middle ropes.
No, you can't do that.
Right?
No. You can't take the middle ropes out. No, you can't. You're going to hurt somebody.
It would make things easier.
You're going to hurt somebody in the ring.
How?
Because the it's stretched too far.
What's stretched too far?
You're going to have three sides? You don't have a three-sided ring. You can't have the opening.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You create a structure that helps to secure all of that and hold all of that structurally. So you can have the middle ropes out, and then there's better flow.
No, the double ring is fine. The ropes are fine. The camera guy in the front was in the middle is fine. Also, for Cameragate, there were three mounted cameras on the cage. That detail was never said on Sunday. There were actually three cameras mounted already on the cage.
WWE has cameras everywhere in terms of like how they shoot this. Like, you have overhead shots, you have side shots, you have somebody in the ring, you have the wide cams, you have stuff everywhere. I will say that, like, again, it didn't bother me that you had somebody in the ring, because they didn't get in the way that much. I feel like you do need to have a camera in there, because you need to get that perspective. If every shot is above, or if every shot is at the cage and you're just looking through the chain link, it's not as an immersive experience as what they're trying to create. Like, the whole point of having somebody in the cage is that you feel like you are in the cage with them, and you are having that experience as a TV viewer, because that's who it's for. It's not necessarily for the live crowd. It's for the TV audience specifically, that you feel right there. You're part of the action. You're in the middle of it. And you're seeing everything up close and personal. That is the whole point of that. And you can't really achieve that with overhead or camera angles. Because again, those are shot from above. So you're looking down into the ring. If you're looking down into the ring, that's not the same as being right there in the ring with the camera guy. So I don't have an issue with it. I really don't. Like, it was fine, because I don't think it got in the way that often.
It never gets in the way. But anyway, Mystery Man. Let's talk about the Mystery Man. You know, Seth Rollins. It was totally Seth Rollins, right? Right? Right?
No, there's no way that was Seth. Too tall.
So I like that they followed up to Monday that they heard the rumor about Seth Rollins being there, right? But he wasn't wearing a brace. And that is an actual factual statement now. The brace has been removed. He is officially walking around as a normal person now in his recovery. He announced that on the Rich Eisen show this week. But the theory for who the mystery man is, it was Steve Austin all along, though. But could be an Austin theory.
It could be.
Who it ultimately ends up being, I think they'll figure it out. It was Austin Theory on Saturday, under the hood. But whether it ends up being Austin Theory when the mystery man plays a factor again, which will probably be on January 5th on the Netflix one-year anniversary show to help Bron Breakker win the World's Heavyweight Championship. That'll probably be the next time we see the mystery man. And let's talk about the theory of it. Okay. Oh, it's Seth Rollins. Why would it have been Seth Rollins?
Yeah, why would Seth Rollins help
the Vision.
Bronze or help anybody? The Vision. Can I just call him the Bronze?
Well, because Logan's in it, it's the Vision. But
he's not there long term.
He's part of the group now. But he's
really? No,
yes. Technically. Yes.
He's not Chad.
Randy was a part of the Wyatts. Logan is part of the Vision.
We are not going down that road. It is too late at night to go down that road.
They are factual. Part of the family.
Anyway.
Both were factual. Both were factual statements. Look it up on Wikipedia.
No, they're not. They're lies. They're lies.
It's all truthful. But no.
Anyway.
Logically, Seth Rollins wouldn't help them because they beat the shit out of him. Why would he help them? He would cost them. So it makes no sense why people would think it's Seth Rollins. They want you to believe it is, but logically it makes no sense.
I don't disagree with that at all. Because when is Seth due back?
Well, he just got the brace off, so he's a couple months away, at least.
At least. Here's the thing. I don't feel like the doctors would clear him to do that.
No, he's not medically cleared to do any of that. The way the person hopped up the ropes, Rollins can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
His knees are shot.
He can't climb like that right now, guys. His shoulder's messed up.
It's not even the shoulder. His knees aren't going to give him that much lift like that anymore. He's not a spring chicken anymore. He's a little beat up. I thought the finish worked. If the end goal is to have Bron Breakker win the world's title from CM Punk, then this was the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're also casting doubt on Roman Reigns' next move because he helped Punk up. He shook Punk's hand, but he did not help because him and Cody, not so much. It's the last time they'll team. So they're teasing Roman and Cody 3, which then made the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer report that the current plan for WrestleMania is Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns part number 3, and also CM Punk versus Bron Breakker.
Okay. I mean, I'm down for that.
But also CM Punk and Bron Breakker is happening on the first anniversary show, so plans change.
I mean, you can do it multiple times.
You can. Yes, you can. Yes, you watch television, and you can point it out. They're leaning towards Cody and Roman again. They could also be leaning towards Cody and Roman for the Royal Rumble.
They could.
You never know. But that's where we're at.
I mean, in terms, were there some crazy spots in this? Yes, there were absolutely some crazy spots in this. I think this worked as well as the women's, maybe a little bit less when certain people came into the cage. Like, I don't feel like Brock should have been in there. Like, he was fine, but it's Brock. And Brock brings a certain kind of thing with him. And I kind of wanted to see someone else. I will say that the fact that the Paul's team was united was good, because obviously Team Face was not united and there were issues there and there's egos and there's problems and there's all kinds of other things. I think the interference was necessary because you need to have some kind of shenanigans because ain't nobody taking the pin clean. You can't have anybody in that match, nor do I think they want to take the pin clean. You need to have something where there's some kind of shenanigans because we all know Paul hired the guy to do whatever he was doing because Paul was handing like Logan brass knucks during the match. So we all know this is going to track back to Heyman and the fact that Heyman is the person that is responsible for this. That you have Paul ensure victory, especially against Team Face, because, you know, again, there's that grudge between Paul and Roman. Not that this played into it at all, but it's there, right? It's the grudge between Paul and Roman. It's also, you know, Paul taking a little bit of revenge on the Usos as well. You know, basically, you didn't value me. Well, now I have home, blah, 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 blah. which could play into it later if they go down that road, which I don't think they will, but it's there. They did set up for it. So I think, like, ultimately the men's match was fine. Again, I don't know whether it was I just walked in with low expectations or what, but it was what it was. It was not my favorite War Games match by any stretch of the imagination, but it was serviceable. It was a good main event. It was entertaining, and it did what it needed to do. Both matches did what they needed to do, which was set up future plans for Rumble and then potentially eventually Mania, because that was the real point of all of this, was to set up Mania season.
Yeah, which we all said would happen. Yeah. So, that's where we're at. Solid show.
That's where we're at.
It wasn't as bad as the internet said it was. Wasn't a blow-away show either. But it had a surprise return of Liv Morgan. It had the Mystery Man angle. It had solid wrestling. People just need to kind of cool it on their expectations sometimes, where, like, oh my god, there was not a blood and guts on a show that would never claim to have blood and guts.
I think at this stage, this is becoming a personal thing, like we were talking about earlier, where, you know, and when I say you, it's a collective thing, but we all know WWE does not do blood. They do not do excessive violence. We all know this. They haven't done it for years. At some point, you need to hamper your expectations just slightly, because if you walk into every WWE show knowing they are not going to do it, but you're expecting it anyway, you're only disappointing yourself. Truthfully, seriously, you're only disappointing yourself. Like, if it happens, great, but it's probably not going to happen, and you just need to maybe accept that at this stage. And as Rock said before, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I don't enjoy AEW. I don't watch it. It's really that simple. It's really that easy. Like, y'all could do the same. That's all I'm saying. You save yourself some stress. Be fine.
Indeed.
But that does it. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Hey, chat. Did you know that moments just sort of collide? Even though it's not really planned that way? Ish. This Saturday, a decade plus eight goes 900 strong. Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. They're gonna talk John Cena's final match. Maybe on Friday they'll announce other matches for next Saturday. We'll hopefully find out. Programming note. There's no post-show Monday because we're going to watch the Eagles lose. Let's go.
They could win.
You know how you just talked about expectations?
Yes, I know.
We're just going to lower deck. We're hampering the expectations going into Monday. They win, it'll be fantastic. We're setting a baseline now where the offense just needs to look decent. What we're gonna do, and we're back live next Thursday at our normal time at 10 p.m. Eastern to preview John Cena's final match. It's Rack Radio Show. It's gonna be weird. But speaking of John Cena, 40 days of John Cena continues on our social media platforms, which is facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, Instagram and Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. It's 40 days of John Cena. All the content is up there on the social media channels. Go check it out. So we're gearing up for John Cena's final match, which is a week from Saturday. That Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcast. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to support the channel. Do the thing. You can also use creator code RockinSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. When you buy your battle pass, when you buy all your sidekicks, which now includes cats, you can now own a cat in Fortnite, or your arcanes, or your Naruto's, or whatever other things in the Fortnite item shop, because it's just an ever growing item shop, because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWD. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/SMLinsWard, and you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel. It's mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week at our normal time. I know, shocking. For the Rock. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.